Peter saw her take an apple and effortlessly squeeze it with one hand so that the fragments exploded throughout the room. Fast as lightning, she grabbed Roswitha and threw her on the floor as if she were a rag doll. Her neck muscles tensing like bands of steel, she could not swallow any solid food and could take liquids only sometimes. She stuffed flies and spiders into her mouth, tried to chew on coal, urinated on the kitchen floor and licked it up, and chewed on panties soaked with urine. Love became hate. Her family learned to duck her vicious blows. Now I'm quoting this in detail in order to illustrate two points. Number one, that it's hard to imagine almost anything worse which could befall an individual. Becoming possessed and possessed to this point where not only are demons inside a person, but are not allowing a person to do what that person wants to do and forcing it to do other things. And the second point is that the devil is in existence, that he's out there trying to drag souls into hell, to get people into mortal sin and into his kingdom, whereby they become vulnerable to things like demonic possession, demonic influence, and ultimately being the property of the devil, so that if that person dies in the state of mortal sin, that person will be with the devil in hell for all eternity. Here are some more quotes of some of the things that Annalise did. It's from page 83. Quote, she ripped holy pictures from the walls, dumped out water from San Damiano, tore rosaries apart, and yanked a medal from Tay Hines' neck, who had come by to see the action. So, in September of 1975, the complete exorcisms began in earnest and continued and continued and continued with no resolution to the situation. The demons were not removed, but they did apparently reveal themselves and their names. During the exorcism, the priest asked, "How many of you are there?" And the names of six demons that were possessing her were given. The demons were Judas, Lucifer, Cain, Nero, Fleischmann, a fallen priest, and Hitler. These were supposedly the names of the demons that were possessing her. As far as where these demons were, Annalise said that they were in her lower back. Quote, she wants to bite right and left. She kicks toward me. Sometimes she simply hits toward the front. At first she sits on a chair, then on the couch. She is not allowed to remain lying down. Sometimes she does it but has to get up again right away. She complains that the devil sits in her lower back. So as the priest continued to spend long hours trying to exorcise these demons from Annalise, they continued to fail again and again, and she continued to exhibit the same problems even after the exorcisms were over. And I believe that one of the reasons for this is that these priests were heretics. There's an interesting dynamic that goes on with exorcism, because we see in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, that people can exorcise demons who are in fact insincere and or heretical. They can exorcise demons by the power of the name of Christ or by the power of the priesthood. Again, we see that in Matthew 7, 21 to 23, where Jesus says to the people, "Have you not cast out devils in my name? Behold, on that day I will say, I never knew you." So there are people who will, by the power of his name or by the power of his priesthood, effectively exorcise demons, but who are not themselves good people or even in the state of grace. That's sort of like how the sacraments work ex opere operato, by the work that has been worked. In other words, a heretical priest can validly say Mass, a bad priest, by the power of the priesthood and the sacrament, can forgive one's sins. But also in exorcism, we see from the Gospel that there is an element of the merit of the minister becoming involved. In Matthew 17, 16 to 19, we read a case of another person who was possessed, and the apostles could not cast the devil out from the person. And Jesus says to them in verse 20, "But this kind is not cast out but by prayer and fasting." So from this verse in Matthew 17, 20, we see that the faith and the merits and the holiness of the individual plays a part in how effective the exorcism is. So on one hand, the power of the priesthood and the power of the name of Christ can work even if the person himself is a heretic or not a true believer or not truly holy. And on the other hand, we see in Matthew 17:20 that with certain cases of possession, the merit of the minister is necessary, the faith of the minister is necessary to cast the demon out. So I think that's why some exorcisms are successful, even by heretics who may be valid priests or may be using the name of Christ, and while others are not. As in this case, I believe that the reason that they had so much trouble expelling the demon is because that these were Novus Ordo priests who were, as this book reveals, wrapped up in a number of what I believe to be false apparitions. They were involved with this other woman's supposed revelations that was heavily involved in their attempts at exorcism. They seemed to be wrapped up in some other false mysticism, even though in certain ways they were conservative. So I believe that's why they also failed. And what's interesting is that as the exorcisms went on, the demons started to speak things through Annalise, claiming that she was chosen. She even actually appeared with the stigmata during one of the exorcisms. Obviously, this was a false stigmata in my view. And these heretical priests even began to believe the revelation she claimed to be giving. And one of the revelations was that she would eventually come out of this and get married. That never happened. One of the revelations was that the demons would be removed by a certain date, and that never happened. And so I think this is another example of how the faithlessness of the Novus Ordo fails people. Now, some may wonder, how did she get possessed? And the story in the book is that, based on what the devil said in the exorcism sessions, that an evil woman had cursed Annalise before she was born, had cursed her mother's next child, apparently, and that's how she was possessed. Now, we posted in one of our e-exchanges that one of the common ways of possession is that people are cursed. You read that in a lot of cases. And we believe that that's true because just as there is a communion of saints, there's a communion of devils. So that as the saints in heaven you can invoke and they can assist you here on earth, those who are in mortal sin are under the sway of the demons. And so those evil people who ask for the demons' help to attack or curse those who are in the devil's kingdom by mortal sin can be cursed. I do not believe that even if one is cursed, he can fall under the power of that curse unless that person opens himself up to it through falling into mortal sin. So if we were to assume that this story is true, it would only be true if Annalise had at some point fallen into mortal sin and therefore made herself vulnerable to such a curse. But whether or not one believes that this was the real reason she was possessed, that's what's claimed in the book based on what was revealed in the exorcisms. Another point I wanted to mention is that things got so bad for her that it was just truly awful. The demons would cause her to kneel on the floor and stand up, kneel on the floor and stand up over and over again. She would smash herself into walls over and over again. It was truly a nightmare, and her family was becoming totally distraught and almost ready to despair. And what's interesting is that some of that activity is similar to what's described again in Matthew chapter 17, verses 16 through 20, where it speaks of the person who had the devil, who would, quote, "falleth often into the fire and often into the water," end quote. So he would harm himself. The demons would cause him to harm himself. And we saw the same thing in this modern case.